Thanks for tuning in to Timberlake's Message podcast. Taking your next right step doesn't have to be live on the weekend. It can be right now. So whether you're checking this message out for the first time or you're just looking for a weekday refresher, we hope you can apply to your life these practical teachings and through that, come closer to God. To find your next right step, check out the connection card at timberlakechurch.com/connection card or find it on the Timberlake Church app. Enjoy the message.
Hello, Timberlake Church. It is good to meet all of you. If you are visiting today, welcome to Timberlake Church, one church in many locations. And so if you're at any of our campuses or watching this online, I'd like to welcome you today. My name is Benjamin. I used to work for Ben Sigmund 20 years ago, ages ago. He was chubbier then. He was twice the man that he is today. He's a lot nicer now, a lot calmer now. But I've learned a lot from him over the last 20 years. When we started our church in Emeryville, California, in the Bay Area, 17 years ago, Ben flew to town and walked the streets of Emeryville with me and prayed over the whole city and came and preached at our church that Sunday morning, met with our elders and trustees after the service, and he has been just such a source of wisdom in our lives. My wife and I, we are so thankful for Ben Sigmund. So it's such an honor for me to be here with each and every one of you here today. So thankful to be here at Timberlake. And awesome. Hello. Hi. I'm going to talk to you about escape rooms. And I know this is the third Sunday in a row you've been talking about escape rooms. I really enjoyed Pastor Dave's messages from the last 2 weeks. I listened to both of them. Great messages about making the right decisions in our lives. I want to talk today just a little bit different. Pastor Dave's messages were so powerful because what they did was set us up for our future. What his messages did is said, here's how you avoid getting into future escape rooms in your life. Learn how to make the right decisions, and even if you're in one, you can learn to make different decisions that will break you free. An escape room is an escape room. Meaning a room from which you must escape. You see, the word escape, it means to slip or get away as from confinement or restraint. It means to gain or regain liberty. Escape, to slip or get away from confinement or restraint, to regain or gain liberty. And a room is a portion of space within a building or other structure separated by walls or partitions from other parts. So an escape room is a portion of space within your life that is separated from other parts of your life in which you are confined or restrained and from which you must escape in order to gain or regain your freedom or liberty. An escape room is a portion of your life where you feel trapped, but it's separated from other areas. It's not your whole life. It's just a portion of your life where you feel trapped and from which you must escape. So there's three things you need to know about escape rooms. First of all, they're rooms. It's a room in your life, not your whole life. It's a room. A lot of times when you're in an escape room, it feels like your whole life is messed up. Your whole life's not messed up. One room is messed up. And a lot of times people in escape rooms, they feel hopeless. People in escape rooms can feel so hopeless that you even want to end your whole life. You can feel suicidal, but it's just a room. It's not your whole life. It's just a room. However, the second thing that you need to know about escape rooms is that you just don't walk out of an escape room. You must escape. That's why it's called an escape room, meaning the escape room itself is designed to confine you there forever. It's designed, not by God, but an escape room is something that's supposed to trap you and keep you trapped forever. You cannot, they're nearly impossible to get out of, but you can get out of them. And that's the third thing to keep in mind. They are possible to get out of. That's why they're called escape rooms, because you're actually expected to escape from it. Now, some of you listening to me today are in an escape room. It's too late not to make the bad decisions that will get you into the escape room. You already made them. Like Pastor Dave was talking about Potiphar's wife last Sunday. You got to go back and listen to that message. It's too late for you to go back and say no to Potiphar's wife. You already said yes to her. You know, some of you listening, it's too late for you to go back and say no to drugs. You said yes to drugs, and now you're living in an escape room. It's too late for you to go back and not marry the wrong person. You married the wrong person, and now you're living in an escape room. It's too late. You've already made the decisions. You're stuck. And if you're in an escape room right now, you're in a room that you feel hopeless about the prospects of getting out of. You know, a few years ago, I talked to my director of operations on my staff at our church. And I said to her, I want you to set up an event for the staff that will kind of build our connection to one another, our trust in one another, kind of a team building exercise. But I want you to take a whole day to set this up for us. So she said, no problem. So she takes us over to San Francisco to the Palace of Fine Arts. She doesn't tell us what's going on. I think we're going to the Palace of Fine Arts to look at some fine arts. But she takes us to the backside of the palace and into this escape room. And this lady takes us in this room and locks us in there. And I mean, we're stuck. And there's all of these clues and all of these riddles and all of these things and compartments and doors. And literally, there's a certain amount of time they give you, and your job is to work as a team to figure out how to get out of that escape room. And I learned some very important things that day about escape rooms in general. First thing I learned is that if you're going to get out of the escape rooms in your life, you must be focused. Like, you can't be in your escape room on the phone, responding to text messages, checking Netflix, on Facebook, Instagram, taking selfies. Like, you've got to be focused. We all had to focus. I mean, you can be nonchalant about other areas of your life, but to get out of an escape room, you've got to be focused. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 brings this out so clearly. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. With minds that are alert and fully sober. Fully alert and fully sober, that's what it means to be focused. You know, the Greek text there, as it's translated in the New King James Version here, says something a little bit different. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Gird up the loins of your mind. The NIV translates that with minds that are fully alert and sober. Girding up the loins of your mind, it's an obscure image. But if you go back to ancient Israel, they wore these long flowing robes with a belt in the middle. And if you were going to run as fast as you can, you would trip over your robes. So you do something called girding up your loins. And what it meant is to reach behind you, grab the back of your robe, tuck it into your belt. It would move all of the extra robe out of the way so you don't trip. Now you could run. So if you saw somebody walking around Israel with a robe that looked like a diaper, you knew that they had to run. It was time to run. You know when someone's getting ready to run when they start girding up their loins. You know it when one of your friends starts girding up the loins of their mind. That is, when their mind becomes alert, you can tell when there's focus. When I'm focused, when I'm not looking to the right or the left, I'm starting to lay aside everything that gets in my way, all of the ways of thinking that hinder me from pursuing this goal. When someone is serious about getting out of their escape room, that's the first sign that they're beginning to take steps toward freedom. Serious. Focused. Because your escape room is not something that you just organically find your way out of. It's not like, if I read one chapter of the Bible every day, no, you will not get out of it for reading one chapter. It's not just like this normal process where if I go to church every Sunday, no, you will not just by going to church. You don't get out. You've got to be 100% focused. You've got to be 100% committed. You've got to make a decision. No matter what it takes, I'm getting out of my escape room. I was thinking about this with this woman in Matthew chapter 9, the Bible said she had an issue, and her issue was blood. What's yours? Your issue might be jealousy. Her issue was blood. Your issue might be lust. Her issue was blood. Your issue might be anger. Her issue was blood. She literally had been on her period for more than a decade, almost two decades. And that was a bad thing in ancient Israel. It isolated her from everything. She couldn't get married. She couldn't go to the family reunion. She couldn't go to the family dinner. She couldn't go to the temple to worship. She couldn't invite people over her house for a dinner. She was completely isolated because of her issue. You see, that's the thing with issues is that they tend to isolate you. In some particular area of your life, you're isolated because you got an issue. But the thing about this woman was she was completely focused on overcoming her issue. So focused that she spent all of her money on every doctor that she possibly could find. Anyone who threw an idea out at her, an ancient remedy, like the kind of remedies they had in Arkansas, my grandmother would talk about. She had a remedy for everything, you know, a little turpentine. Put a little turpentine on that. Turpentine? What you trying to do, kill me? I remember I got chicken pox. And I woke up and my grandmother was rubbing half an onion on me. I said, what kind of witchcraft is this? What kind of this woman, she would try it. Rub the onion on me. Do whatever it. She just submitted herself to her doctors. She was willing to try things that were outside of her comfort zone. That's what it means to be focused. You know you're focused when you're willing to step out of your comfort zone in order to take a step of freedom, because the steps that lead to your freedom outside of your escape room are never found within your comfort zone. And because she was focused, on the day when Jesus came walking through her city, she was ready. Had she not been focused on her freedom, she would not have been ready the day Jesus came walking through her city. She was focused, she was looking, she was searching, and when Jesus came walking through her city, she was ready. You see, so many people, Jesus come walking through your city, but you're not ready for him because you're not focused on your freedom. You simply expected, this is just me. This is just my escape room. I just live here. It's my cross to bear. Or how about this? It's my thorn in the flesh. That's the dumbest thing. I hear believers say that all the time. No, it is not your thorn in the flesh. You made some bad decisions. Just start owning it. Stop blaming God for it. Make a decision that you're not going to live there for the rest of your life. And when Jesus came walking through her city, she said, if I just touch that, she saw this little thread hanging off of his garment. Why was she afraid to touch him? Because anyone she touched would have been considered unclean. She said, but if I just touch that little thread that's hanging from his garment, I believe that'll be enough. And she pressed her way through the crowd and she touched that thread hanging off of his robe and she was completely healed. Why was she healed? Because she was focused on her freedom. So you got to be focused. Secondly, you got to have real fellowship. Fellowship. You know that word fellowship, we use it a lot in Christianity. It's kind of like this Christianese word, fellowship. We don't use it like in the workplace. It's a word that you only hear at church. And typically when you hear it at church, it has something to do with food. It's like, we're going to have the service at 11 and then we're going to go in the hall for fellowship. And that means there's going to be some chips and some cookies, and some punch. That's not what fellowship is. The word koinonia, fellowship, it literally means joint ownership or partnership. And the concept of fellowship is a group of people who are so intimately connected to one another that where one is weak, the others are strong. It means that nobody has strength in every area. See, you need fellowship because no matter who you are, no matter how strong you are, you do not have the wisdom, the knowledge, or the discipline to get yourself out of your own escape room by yourself. And if you think you do, you're in another escape room called pride. And that was the thing I learned on the day that we went to that escape room as a staff, is that none of us were smart enough to get out of there by ourselves. None of us. And what was crazy was all of these different riddles and stuff that they had that we had to go through corresponded to different parts of different staff members' brains. I mean, staff members that I didn't think were very bright. I mean, just to tell you the truth, there's one or two. I'm not going to say any names. But I was like, I don't think he's very bright. But then I would see them attack a riddle that nobody could figure out, and they figured it out. It just somehow, I was like, that's a part of his brain that none of us have. Do you realize that there's a part of you that's weak? No matter how strong you are, you need some people around you who can figure some stuff out that you can't figure out. And I was thinking right there in that same chapter in Matthew 9, it starts with Jesus getting off the boat in Nazareth, the city where he grew up. And the first thing he's met with is a group of friends who came carrying their friend who was paralyzed from the waist down and couldn't walk. They come carrying their friend to Jesus. You know, all of us are like the paralyzed guy in some area of our lives. There's a part of my life where I need some friends to carry me to Jesus because I can't carry myself. The problem is most of us won't let anybody close enough to us to carry us to Jesus. Jesus, would you touch our friend? I need some people around me who will carry me to Jesus and say, Jesus, will you touch our friend? You need fellowship. Fellowship means you let people close enough to you to see the place in your life where you can't walk for yourself. And if nobody around you knows that place, you're just sitting by yourself, lame at home. How lame is that? You know what? You need to let some people in on those places in your life where you're lame. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says it this way. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Literally what it says is, there's always some people around me who are more spiritual than I am, who have been walking with Jesus at a deeper level than I have been, who are more mature in the Lord than I am. Those people need to pick me up and carry me to Jesus if I'm going to get out of my escape room. You can't do it by yourself. And not only that, but you need to be willing to confess your sins to them. That's one of the hardest parts of the Christian faith. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's this each othering that's supposed to happen. And that each othering, confessing to one another and praying to one another, is kind of what it means to be humble. To say, I can't make it out of here without you. I don't care how put together my life seems to be. I need you, and you need me, and we're a happy family. So you need fellowship. You need focus, and you need fellowship. And then number three, you must follow the teacher's instructions. You must follow the teacher's instructions. You need focus, you need fellowship, and you must follow. So many examples of this explode in my mind and heart when I think about following Jesus. I was thinking of the Acts 12 passage. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison, and he was supposed to be killed the next morning. He's in prison. He's waiting to be killed the next morning. He's surrounded by guards. He's in chains. He's inside a prison gate, and he's in the prison and in the cell and surrounded by guards and chained, and there's no way out. Tomorrow morning, they're going to cut his head off. He's just there, and he's sound asleep. He's asleep. Why is he asleep? Because he's so depressed, and he's so discouraged, and he's so helpless, and he knows that there's no way to get out, and all of a sudden, an angel wakes him up in the middle of the night by slapping him on the side. Wake up, Peter. Slaps him. Get up, boy. And he wakes up, and he's startled awake, and he's thinking, man, this is a good dream. And the angel says, stand up. And he stands up, and the chains fall off of him. It's like, wow, this is a good dream. And the angel says, put on your coat. And he puts on his coat. And the angel says, put on your shoes. And he puts on his shoes. And the angel goes, follow me. And he follows the angel. And the whole time he's thinking, it's going to suck to wake up tomorrow morning. I'm going to be remembering this dream as the sword falls on my neck. And they walk up to the door, and the gate opens by itself. And he follows the angel out, and the angel and the guards fall asleep. And the angel leads him out to the street, turns the corner, and he turns the corner. The angel disappears. And it's not until he's out that he recognizes, I got out of my escape room not because I made any decisions, not because of my focus, not because of my friends or my fellowship, simply because God's divine intervention. Simply because God showed up. The thing we must recognize is at the end of the day, no matter how many friends you've got and no matter how focused you are, it's God who gets you out. That there are some prison doors that are locked so tightly that nobody can get you out except God. And at the end of the day, all you got to do is follow the master's instructions. But here's the beautiful thing. If you're focused, and if you got the right kind of fellowship, friendship, you'll be attentive to his voice when he tells you what to do and when he tells you where to go. And you can get out of your escape room. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says that the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. What teaches us to say no? The shame of God? What teaches us to say no? The harshness of God? What teaches us to say no? The wrath of God? No, the grace of God. Not the shame of God. Some people think that they can do better in life if they simply feel worse about themselves. That I cannot make those decisions again if I simply have more shame and more guilt and more condemnation. May I say to you that your shame will never heal you. Your guilt will never heal you. It's the grace of God that can set you free. The grace of God is what teaches us to say no. A friend of mine came to church one Sunday wearing a suit. Beautiful two-piece suit. New haircut. And he was worshiping, singing, and he was weeping, and you just this look of intensity on his face, and you think, wow, he loves Jesus so much. And one of my other friends walked up to him and said, hey, dude, what are you doing wearing a suit? And he goes, I just want to give God my best. And he goes, this is the first time you've ever worn a suit. I've never seen you wear jeans and a t-shirt to church. Why are you wearing a suit? I just want to give God my very best. He goes, no, you don't. You messed up last night. You're trying to make up for it. And he started crying. You're right. You don't get out of your escape room by wearing a suit. You don't get out of your escape room by speaking some Christianese. You don't get out of your escape room by giving a bigger offering, attending more worship services, reading the Bible more. At the end of the day, there's only one thing that can get you out of your escape room. It's the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that's communicated to us in the Word of God. You see, David, King David, the guy in the Bible who was like the preeminent king of Israel, he talks about this all the time in the Psalms, how he got out of so many escape rooms in his life. How? The grace of God. He says in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He's literally saying, how did I get out of my escape rooms? I simply fell on your mercy and your grace, and I turned to your word, and I found your word to be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. All I had to do is listen to your voice, and I got out. His favor will be your shield. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, in another place, David says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. His favor is able to surround you and be a shield that covers you. At the end of the day, what gets us out of our escape rooms is trusting in the Lord, is falling fully upon his mercy, is believing him with all of our hearts, leaning not on our own understanding in all of our ways, acknowledging him, allowing him to direct our paths. See, some of you are in an escape room right now that you feel hopeless about. And for some of you, that escape room is just the basic escape room that all of us find ourselves in from the moment of our birth. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Which means that from birth, we live in this escape room called sin. And we feel completely hopeless about getting out of it. And many of us, when we try to come to Christ, we get tripped up because we misunderstand what the message of the gospel actually is. We think the message of the gospel is do better and stop doing wrong and make better decisions and say, tell God you're sorry all the time and then maybe God will save you. And that's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is not that you can get out of your escape room by doing better. The message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that no matter how good you try to do, you'll never make it out of your escape room. But here's the good news. Jesus entered into your escape room with you. He entered into my escape room with me. There's not a single escape room that any of us have ever found ourselves in that Jesus did not find himself in first. He was born in human form. He took humanity, that the incarnation means he was born in human flesh and blood. And what does that mean? In being born in human flesh and blood, he entered into every single one of our escape rooms. Everyone. And then he went to the cross and he paid the price for your sin and for my sin. What did he do by giving his life on the cross? He paid the price to break the chains and to open the door of every escape room. I'm telling you that the power to break every chain of every escape room that you and I would ever find ourselves in is in the cross of Jesus Christ. When he hung on the cross between earth and heaven with nails in his hands and in his feet and a crown of thorns upon his head. And when he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." The price was paid when he said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. And now what do you and I have to do? Simple. Number one, Jesus said it in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Three things. He preached the shortest sermon ever preached. Just three sentences, three statements very quickly. The time has come. The kingdom of God is here, and repent and believe the gospel. That's it. Very simple. This is the gospel. The time has come. Meaning you've been in that escape room for long enough. Number two, the kingdom of God is here. What is the kingdom of God? God coming to do by his power what you could never do by your power. You could fight for the rest of your life to get out. You'll never make it out, but the kingdom of God is here. It's the power of God to do on your behalf what you could never do on your own behalf. And then number three, repent and believe the gospel. What does that mean? Repent, it simply means to turn away from the idea that I can make it on my own. To turn away from the idea that I can meet my own needs, satisfy my own desires, make up for my own sins. Repent and believe the gospel. And all I have to believe is that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. I remember years ago, there was a young man in our congregation. And one Sunday, I gave the invitation to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he accepted that invitation. And I remember looking at him, and he seemed especially moved that day. And that week, he came to my office to visit me, and he sat with me, and he said, "Pastor, I got a question for you. When you said that Jesus forgave all of my sin, what does that mean?" I said, "What do you mean, what does that mean?" "It means Jesus died to forgive all of your sins. He paid the price for all of your sins." He said, I know, but does that mean that he's not going to punish me for it now? He's only going to punish me for it later?" I said, "No, it means Jesus was punished for it. It means he doesn't punish you for it. It means that it was laid on Jesus and he took it to the cross and he bore it in his body and he died for those sins. The punishment is paid. You'll never pay for those sins." He says, "Oh, wait. You're telling me that all of my sins are forgiven?" I said, "Yes." He said, wait. "You're telling me that all of my sins are gone?" I said, "That's exactly what I'm telling you, brother." He said, "Like washed away, gone." I said, "Yes, washed away, gone." He goes, like I never did it." I said, "Yes, like you never did it." And he looked at me and this inexpressible joy exploded in his face and he went, "That is huge." And I thought, yeah, that is huge. It had been so long since I realized how huge that is. It had been so long since I marveled at the enormity of the grace of God that breaks us free from the escape room of sin. And I simply want to say to you today that for some of you, the time has come. The kingdom of God is here. And God is inviting you to repent and believe the gospel. God has come to break you out of your escape room. And it starts with this simple prayer that I would invite you to pray with me right now. And if this is stirring your heart, if you feel God just touching your heart, even subtly, I'm just going to ask you right where you are to repeat this prayer with me. Say, "Father, I come to you and I surrender. I recognize that I'm stuck in my escape room because of my sin. Forgive me. Wash me. And make me clean. And I believe that Jesus paid the price for all of my sin on the cross. I open my heart and I invite him to come in and make his home in me, I pray, today. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message podcast. If you would like to watch the video version of this, visit our online campus at online.timberlakechurch.com, which is also live Saturday evenings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 8:30, 9:45, and 11:15 Pacific time. And don't forget to check out our app for a one-stop solution to all things Timberlake. Thanks again, and we hope to see you this weekend.